Welcome to the With Clarity and Purpose podcast with your host, Janet Borrego. Each week, I bring you an inspiring person or message to empower you to live life on your terms so you can be who you want to be, do what you are meant to do, and have the life you deserve to have. We will provide you with practical and cutting-edge approaches to continue getting clarity and direction on your path, mastering your mindset, and gaining confidence to tap into your inner wisdom so you can live on purpose. Welcome to another episode of the With Clarity and Purpose podcast. And today's podcast episode is super mega special because this is a day that I've been dreaming of. I have two very special guests that it has been on my mind for the longest time. They don't know other than a few months ago, but for the longest time, I've been thinking and dreaming of bringing them to the podcast. And these two special guests are my mentees and now friends. So we actually met back in 2013 through a mentorship program. And we are going to talk more about it. Whenever I was at ExxonMobil, I had just started working full time for ExxonMobil. And now I'm a coach. So many things have changed with me and with them. So I want to introduce you all because we are going to be talking today about the importance of mentorship and just having a role model in the pursuit of your dreams, whatever your dreams are. And these two very special guests are Bere and Jennifer. Bere is a healthcare system engineer focused on process improvement to reduce waste and variation. And Jennifer is a procurement professional in the oil and gas industry. How are you both doing today? I'm so excited for this.
This is definitely excited and a long time coming. And we have a lot to kind of discuss, I think. And I think there's been so much growth with having you, as you mentioned, as a role model, because I never had that growing up. But yeah, I'm excited for this podcast, an opportunity to discuss.
That is so sweet. So Bere, tell us, like, where are you originally from, and give us a fun fact about yourself, whatever that thing is.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeanette. So my parents are originally from Mexico. I was actually born and raised here in Texas, Baytown specifically. So I've been there my whole life, and now I actually live in Clear Lake. So we just got a house over here, got married maybe 2 years ago and moved in with my husband. So we're excited to be here. And a fun fact, so I used to have this fun fact that I used to say during school, which was one summer, I got to the point where I like binge watched all the potential TV shows I could and just decided to read books. I actually read 36 books in like 2 months, just wow, because of how bored I was.
That's
that
a lot
summer.
Of fun, Bere. Too much fun here.
Exactly. And now if you ask me how many books I've read since I graduated and started working, it's probably like 5.
That's hilarious. I've never met someone who has read so many books on such a short amount of time. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. That's hilarious. How about you, Jennifer?
Okay. So my parents are also from Mexico. I was born in Houston and raised in Baytown and now living in Houston. And a fun fact about me, I think it's amazing because it always reminds me of my grandma. So I'm the only one in my family, like parents, sisters, some cousins, that has green eyes, which are my grandma's eyes, and she's now passed away. So it's a little piece that always reminds me of my grandma.
That is so sweet. I didn't know any of these fun facts. So even though we have known each other since 2013, basically 11 years ago, we are still getting to know each other. So this is a lot of fun. I love it. Let's talk about the journey, right? Because we met whenever you were interested in studying chemical engineering, and then ExxonMobil had this community initiative. I was actually the lead for the Latinos ERG, the Latinos group in the Baytown refinery. And then we had this initiative where we partnered with Lee College, a community college in Baytown. And then they had this mentorship program of students that were interested on transitioning from community college to a four-year university. And I was all about it, but we are going to get there. So tell us about your journey of basically getting into Lee College, and not only that, like expressing your interest in chemical engineering. Like, how was that for you? Like, how did you get to that point? Barry, if you want to start.
Yeah, I can start. I think as soon as I graduated from high school, at some point you identify, you know, do you want to go to a two-year college or four-year? And I knew that, like, based on my parents and their social and economic status, it just made more sense, right, to go to a two-year college because of the money, right? It's cheaper. And then we'll probably talk about this throughout, but part of it was also that the college had a lot of opportunities for scholarships, especially within the STEM field, and helped with the transition from a two-year college to a four-year university. So that was kind of the decision, was purely the opportunities that it had, and also just how the price difference from the two-year to four-year. And I'll talk about why I wanted to do chemical engineering and then why I transitioned out of chemical engineering.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the transition. Okay. So let's start with chemical engineering.
Okay,
first.
Like, okay, how, we'll do. Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself, okay?
No worries. I love where you're heading. We are going to talk about it.
Okay, no problem. So when I was actually, I believe in, I don't know, maybe I was in fifth grade or sixth grade. I don't know. One of those grades where they do like a STEM day for girls in engineering, I believe is what it's called. And I think it's also ExxonMobil. So ExxonMobil had like a girls in engineering or girls in STEM day. No, yeah, it was STEM. And basically there was a lot of like women professionals that were there at Exxon, and they just showed different things that you could do in the STEM field. And I remember that one of them was chemical engineering. I remember that they had one for civil engineering, the thing that you had to do. I think they gave you like marshmallows and toothpicks. You had to build a bridge or something. And for chemical engineering, I don't remember now because it was fifth grade, but they did something. And I was like, I want to be a chemical engineer. Because at that point, I knew I really enjoyed math. I enjoyed science. I was good at both of them. I liked problem solving. I just didn't know which specific one. But then they had that day where they basically showed, okay, this is what chemical engineering is. And to me, I thought it looked fun. I was good at all the subjects. I was like, why not? Let's give this a chance. And then also part of it was whenever you graduate with chemical engineering, there's a good pay, and also there's good job opportunities, right? Like most of the time that you're looking at, well, what do I want to do? You're like, okay, well, how fast will I get a job? And then what's going to be the pay? Because you don't want to spend 4 years doing something and then you won't get a job, or the pay is going to be not what you want or the lifestyle you need.
I love it. I love it. There are so many commonalities in my own story too, but I want to hear about Jennifer. How was the journey for you until you got into, okay, I'm interested in chemical engineering, and then choosing a Lee College, a community college?
So my reason for choosing Lee College is because, so I'm a first generation like student in college. So I had no idea what I was doing. I had never like had the preparation of like, okay, like, let's get you started looking at schools and like, where do you want to go next? It was just, my dad always said, you need to keep going to school. You need to keep going to school. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't really know the real process. The SAT was kind of like, I knew about it, but didn't really fully understand the process. So it was like the easiest, most convenient, most kind of like next pass for me that just made sense. Obviously, I grew up in Baytown. It was like 5 minutes from my house. So it was like community college and a good way for me to get started and kind of get my feet wet and kind of experience all that. And also like the money aspect came into it. And so that's how it kind of started. I wasn't prepared to go to a 4-year college, applied to Lee College and started my journey there. The reason why I chose chemical engineering. So I've always really enjoyed math, not as much science. I was more of a math person. And so Growing up in Baytown, the refinery is like your backyard. My dad worked in the refineries, and so it was like what I knew. And I also knew that you could make a lot, really good money. So coming from my background, what I knew, I was like, okay, high paying job, good opportunities. There's opportunities right in my backyard. So that's like, it just makes sense to me to kind of go that route. And that's why I chose it. But yeah.
That is so powerful because, I mean, I identify so much with both of you. I mean, my mom was focused on survival, you know, on bringing bread to the table. Like, she didn't know anything about the educational system. She didn't know anything about engineering or anything about anything, really. So I had to guide myself to the best of my abilities because at that moment, I didn't have mentors or anything like that. Yeah. And I chose chemical engineering because I loved chemistry. I was good at math. And then engineering is a high paying job. And part of the vision is always coming from the background that we come from, right?
Yeah.
It's always to be able to provide and sometimes help the family and be able to break those generational cycles so future generations can be and do better, right? So I think I'm so inspired by your story already. And I'm learning so much that I didn't know. So, okay, I'm so excited. So you got to Lee College, chemical engineering. There is this mentorship program. Somehow we get connected together. I got two mentees. Some mentors got one or two, or I don't even know. And if I remember well, this program was for a quarter or a semester, something like that. It wasn't the whole year. But in my mind, for me, like, mentorship was a commitment, like a relationship, a commitment, not just a temporary thing, right? And then I met both of you. What was your thought process when you heard, okay, you're going to get a mentor? Of course, you didn't know me yet. And the first time you meet me, because I'm going to say later, there is something one of you told me that always has stuck in my mind. And I'm like, wow, like, I still think about it. And it's so amusing. So what was your reaction or perspective on getting a mentor? And then what happened when you actually got one and you met me at that time that you didn't know me before?
So I will speak just a little bit further back to my experience at Lee College. I was welcomed and brought into kind of like the community. I was able to work on campus, met Miss Marone, who was the leader of the STEM program. And so that just like, I was already being found with the opportunities and people to kind of guide me because I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I guess now thinking back, like just how life in the world and God was like taking care of me and like kind of guiding me in the right direction. So yeah, just starting there, that then led to the STEM program with Ms. Marone meeting you. And I was glad that me and Berenice knew each other from before then. It was nerve-wracking for me to meet someone. And like, it was very empowering to meet someone that had already done it. And especially, I remember when I met you and you were coming in from Puerto Rico. And I was like, that is amazing. Like, she left her family behind. She did the thing. Like, she graduated. She's now has a job at Exxon, like where I potentially in my backyard thought I would have. And that was like my goal of what I thought once things kind of, what the idea of what I thought I wanted for myself, you had already done. And like, it was very attainable. You made it seem more attainable. But yeah, so that's like, and also when I met you, I know coming from like a Mexican Hispanic family, you mentioned like it wasn't for you. It wasn't just like we have a requirement to meet once a month or once a quarter. You really took it a step further and created a relationship. I remember me and Vera would talk about it like, oh, we're nervous. Like, can we ask her? Like, how much can we ask her? Like, is she comfortable with sharing? Is it okay to ask these questions? Is it not? Like, are we asking for too much? And so it was, again, great that you welcomed us and were so open. And so like, we've went from a mentorship to really just a relationship and to being more comfortable to have those conversations. And the woman that I am now would have never had those conversations back in the day. Now, like, the more uncomfortable the conversation is, like, I love it because I'm like, I want to get to know people and like, I want to know everything. And yeah, so I think that a lot helped with having you around and yeah, having that mentorship and guidance.
I love that. I've seen you, I mean, I've seen both of you grow so much. And I remember Jennifer, when I met you 11 years ago, you were very shy and you were trying to find your way. And now you are a completely different person in the aspect of, like you said, like you speak up, you get out there, you shine your light instead of dimming your light. So I think for me, that has been so inspiring and empowering to see that journey and that beautiful growth that you have had. So it has been amazing. Amazing. Okay, Betty, you go. I'm excited for your story.
Yeah. So I think I'll go what Jennifer said, because I think at the beginning, it helped that it was two people that knew each other, because honestly, and I'm still the same, like, shy, introverted person. I don't know how to
like, come on.
But maybe I would have. I don't know.
It doesn't seem like.
I'm an introvert, but I know when I have to get out of my shell and, you know, be more friendly and outgoing, I guess, in different settings. But I think for me, it was also very refreshing just how young you were. I think whenever we first met you and I saw how young you were, I think it made me excited, because I'm like, oh man, she's full of energy and she just went through this not that long ago. So she's going to have so much valuable insights to bring into this mentorship. And I don't remember, but I think at the beginning you mentioned that we were probably your first official mentees, or I don't know, maybe it was the first official time that we did it through like some program. So it was like all of us trying to learn and do the best that we could, knowing that we all wanted all of us to succeed with this mentorship. So I think that was really exciting as well. And then just the fact that we all, because at that point you actually were a chemical engineer. And I remember that there was some other mentees that actually had like, they had mentors, but they weren't maybe specifically what they wanted. Like maybe they were trying to do like rehab, but it was like a PE teacher or something. I don't remember. But for us, it was like perfect. It was like, hey, you have a female engineer, chemical engineer. And then when I first saw you, I was like, oh, man. And you're so full of energy, too. I remember you.
She's still in. Energy.
Fun. You are like, wow, engineers can be fun and happy, it seems like.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, so... Because I think at some point you probably have like stereotypes of most engineers are male. And to some extent, that's pretty accurate. Whenever you're sitting in a class for engineering, you'll see that there are women in the class, but the majority are male students, right? So I think it was just refreshing, I think was probably the best word to say.
I love it. I think that is so powerful, because it's true about the stereotypes. I think it was your mom or you, Bere, or something like that, because I think it was her who told me this. You, please let me know. I don't remember who told me this. I think your mom or you told me that you imagine like this lady coming in with heels, like this lady engineer come with heels and seem like an unreachable thing, like kind of a superior energy in some way. Was that your mom or?
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm making this up. No, I promise I'm not. But
no,
I think.
No, it sounds like my mom probably, but maybe I just did that.
Maybe it was your mom. And I think she was like, wow. And then I saw you and you just look like us. And it was just such a humbling experience. And I never thought that in my mind, but it makes sense, because our parents have never been exposed to the path that we have taken, right? And sometimes many things as immigrants may seem impossible or unreachable because of where we came from. So I always remember that comment. And to me, that is just so inspiring. And I think it's so important to have role models and mentors that look like you. Like, it's kind of like evidence that, yes, of course, it can happen for you too. So I love that you mentioned the stereotypes thing, because I always think of that comment. Okay, cool. I love it. So you met me as an engineer. now I'm a coach. You have literally been through all of these 11 years of transition from engineering to supply chain, me getting certified as a coach. We were reading books from John Maxwell together in a park and just like doing lots of personal development, which I think it's like hilarious in a good way, right? That you have seen that reinvention. And you have gone through your own reinvention too, right? Because just like me, you too decided chemical engineering and later on you evolved, you reinvented your career and education into something else. What empowered you to move from chemical engineering to something that felt in more alignment within you? And you can start, Jennifer.
Okay. I think you really helped me. I remember calling you and we talked about this one time, but taking it a step back, just like talking back about, I never had one. I didn't know what I was doing. I chose what I chose because of the money, because it just seemed like potentially a good fit. It's math. I can get a job right there. So perfect fit, right? But also like I didn't have, because of our financial situation, I didn't have the opportunity to like explore and mess up. Like I had this very big, like to me, I couldn't mess up. I couldn't like go see if maybe I liked, I don't know, geology or something else. Like I had to continue to work towards something that was going to bring value. And I was, again, with me and Veta and you as well mentioned, like you want to be able to provide and bring in the money and have a job when you graduate. Like I'm not just going to be twiddling my thumbs or, you know. And I know I was still in school when you transitioned into supply chain and like you started kind of talking to us about that. The transition from a community college to a four-year college was tough for me because we had such a community with the STEM program, with like the, with Ms. Marone, with you, that we didn't get that when we transitioned out. And then it was kind of like a shock. So transitioning out was crazy. I didn't necessarily have like my parents to go to and say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's also kind of normal to get like 50s, 60s in engineering classes. And to me, I was like a failure and I couldn't allow myself to fail. And so I ended up transitioning out of that and then somehow ended up in construction management for a little bit. I didn't like it, but I also chose it because of the money seemed like easy enough, kind of similar to what I was doing. And then got to talking to you, got to learn more about supply chain, ended up in a supply chain course. Kind of things again started to fall into place like in different directions, and then ended up in the business school supply chain and had you to kind of also ask questions on that side because you had transitioned. But yeah, like I feel like I'm forgetting the question. I don't know if I answered it, but yeah, that's kind of like my how I transitioned out. And I'm glad I did, because now thinking back, my personality definitely fits a lot more with supply chain. I get to like negotiate, things are changing daily, business, money, like negotiating. Like I remember when I got into the supply chain class and I was like, oh my God, this is like, you can haggle and like, it's fun. Like when I go back to like my memories in the Mercado in Mexico, I'm like, oh, can you give me two of these for 10? And they're like 20. No, I'm like two and I'll buy 10. So it's just like things kind of started falling into place. And it did come at me kind of failing and taking different directions. But eventually, you know, it led to supply chain and the business in the school of business and just kind of changed my trajectory.
Yeah, I love that so much because sometimes we want clarity right away, but clarity is a byproduct of experimenting truly and getting to know yourself at the deepest level. So I love your journey because it really goes through this path of you getting to know yourself, but also gaining clarity on what was aligning to yourself. So I think that's a powerful story. And I can totally see you in supply chain. You're a very people's person. So I think that makes total sense. And I think even in the journey, right, between the three of us, what I was learning myself is you got to find yourself. Like as a mentor, I never felt like, oh my God, no, you need to stay in chemical engineering. I mean, to me, that didn't make any sense because I was finding my own path, first of all. So I was a great role model in reinventing yourself. And I think everyone needs to discover what feels authentic and in alignment to them. You know, like how you get there remains flexible. And I love that both of you have really stayed loyal to that alignment and those values that you have found within yourself. Bere, I cannot wait to hear your story. Love Jennifer. Okay, tell us about it. A lot of people are going to be so inspired by these reinvention stories.
And I totally forgot whenever Jennifer was talking about that, that yes, when we were transitioning, I think you were also transitioning. So it was just a lot of support. But to me, I mean, I had already done a semester of chemical engineering. And like Jennifer mentioned, I think when we first started, you start getting those grades that are like 50 and that's the average, right? Like if you got a 50, that's good. And you're like, what? So you kind of get discouraged of, is this really what I want to do? And I think as the classes progress, I still remember this. There was this one class, right? And the professor said, if this class is the basis of chemical engineering, this is chemical engineering, this one class. And I was like, I hate this class. Yeah. So after that, I was like, I'm out.
What class was that? Like mass balance or?
It was thermodynamics.
Oh
it
my
was...
God. Well, I'm raising my hand. Thermodynamics was like talking to the cosmic energy over there. I'm like, what are we talking about? Okay, keep
going. So he's like, this just expands, right? Like you just continue to grow on this. I was like, I hate this class. Like the other class, I was like, okay, sure. Then that class was like, nope, I'm not doing it. So then at that point, like Jennifer mentioned, we already had like kind of a community of people that we had already done like our basics with at the community college. And one of our friends actually was doing industrial engineering. So I started asking, hey, so what is industrial engineering? I started doing research and then I really liked the different courses, what an industrial engineer would do, and decided to take a class or two, I believe. And I think I also did some chemistry classes just to see like, well, is my passion maybe just chemistry, not engineering, or is it engineering? So I took two and I decided to stick to industrial engineering since I really liked it. But I do remember that at that point, like, and I think this is something you always mention, like vulnerability, right? Like be okay with being vulnerable. So I think that helped too. Cause I think as we were moving towards like our 4-year college, and I think Jennifer kind of talked about this, like our parents are, they feel really invested, right? They're like, oh, well, you're going to do this and pushing us to do that. And then it also kind of felt like, oh man, I'm failing my parents, right? Because my parents have put so much effort into me doing this that I wasn't like, I'm just failing myself. I'm failing my parents and I'm failing my family. But then at some point I identified, well, it doesn't matter because you're failing right now. Or not even failing. It wasn't really like, I like how you said it. It's reinventing. But to me, at first, I thought it was a failure, right? Like, oh, this is too hard and I don't want to do it. So I'm failing myself. But no, it was just, I didn't like it. There's no reason for me to continue. And when you're thinking about it, is your parents don't care if you're a chemical engineer or you're this or that. They just care that you're happy and successful and you have a good life, right? Not even the success, is that you're happy and you're having a good life. That's what your parents care about. So at some point I identified, it doesn't matter what I do, as long as I'm happy, my parents are going to be happy that I was able to just get a higher education, something that they didn't even were able to achieve or even thought that would be possible. So I think that kind of summarizes it all.
I love it. I mean, both of your stories are just so powerful. And I love the comment both of you have said, hey, I felt like a failure, right? And I think there is no failure, only feedback. The only thing you are getting is that feedback of what's in more alignment within yourself. I mean, I think in the way to success, there are going to be a lot of those moments of course correcting and going one way. Okay, maybe this is not the way. Let's get some data and make a data-driven decision. That's the consulting side of me. But really, it's all about gathering data, gaining clarity to make better decisions later on, to become more wise, which is what you both have done. How do you think having a mentor, and sometimes I think like, wow, they saw me changing. I mean, they saw me through my whole reinvention, which didn't stop in supply chain. It went far beyond. And well, first of all, how did having a mentor empower you to make those decisions and to believe more in yourself? Because I think a lot of women struggle with imposter syndrome, you know, like believing they are not enough, believing they are not worthy, they are not capable, people pleasing, which I love what you both have said about your parents and realizing that if I'm happy, they're going to be happy. That's what matters at the end of the day. And progress equals happiness. You know, I'm progressing. That's what matters. So having a mentor really empower you to own those decisions and feel that you were kind of like enough to make them happen.
I really don't think my life would be what it is now. And like the support that I've received, like from having you in my life, like I've mentioned to you, I'm like forever grateful. And I still feel like sometimes, obviously we still talk, but like in work, like there's not always people that you can rely on and, or just like say, I made a mistake. Like, what should I do? And I know that me and you have been able to have some conversations that I remember literally calling you saying, hey, I just took this class. I really am enjoying supply chain. Like, do you think that maybe it would be okay? And I guess I was kind of asking you for permission because I couldn't, even though I wanted to, I couldn't give that permission to myself because yeah, the failure, or you're not doing what you said you were going to do, or you're changing your mind too many times. So maybe it's not okay. And so you were always kind of that encouragement or just that like safe place to say, yeah, like it's fine. Like go ahead and try it without sometimes having that like feedback or like somebody that you can bounce ideas off of. I feel like you can get stuck. For me, I can get stuck. I need to kind of talk it out. I need to, I guess, even sometimes feel validated, like in what I am thinking, like, am I crazy? Am I making the right wrong choice? Am I not? Like, I think it's just been really good on that aspect because there's not a lot of people that had had that experience while I was going through it. So I didn't have any, like having a mentor, you to rely, to be able to kind of bounce ideas off of was amazing. Oh,
that is so sweet. I feel that in my heart. And I always tell both of you, I mean, you have learned a lot about me, but I've learned a lot from both of you. You two have been an inspiration because I think that the mentorship-mentee relationship goes both ways. You know, the mentor is always learning from the mentees a lot, and I'm still learning from you, right? So I think it's such a symbiotic, I never use that word, but somehow it came up, a symbiotic relationship where there is a lot of fulfillment, satisfaction, and really tons of benefit of having someone to bounce off ideas off and just to get guidance. And many times that guidance is through questions, right? Because questions allow you to get to know yourself a lot better. I had mentors in college. I had mentors in corporate. I mean, not having a mentor in corporate is a big no-no, right? You got to have mentors. And I have mentors now in entrepreneurship. So I know myself the benefits of having a mentor and being a mentee too. So I'm just so grateful for both of you being in my life. So I appreciate you so much. Yeah. Tell me about it. I know you have tons of things to say.
So I think for me, you really helped with the empowerment piece because I think like Jennifer mentioned, if it wasn't for you during this whole transition period, I think it would have taken me longer to get there. Like I would have eventually got out of chemical engineering, but it wouldn't have been at that point. I think I would have been miserable like a semester or two more longer, just because I think I remember still having that conversation with my mom. And my mom, she was basically asking me and questioning me like, is it that hard? Can you really not do it? She just didn't understand, right? She was more coming at it like, hey, you're a capable, smart person, just do it. And I was like, but that's not what I want to do. It wasn't that. It was that I didn't want to do it. So I think having you really helped with that. And then also, like, then, like you mentioned, right, it's good to have a mentor that kind of symbolizes what you want and reflects kind of where you're coming from. Because then I was able to say, because my mom knew you, I'm like, mom, but you know, you think Jeanette is successful, right? You think
the big sister you can blame.
You think she's a good person. And my mom would be like, yes, but why? Why are you bringing up Jeanette in this? And I'm like, because it just shows that I'm not like, people do this. People transition. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. Doesn't mean anything. And I think that helped with the conversation with my mom. Like, hey, I'm doing this, but other people have done this also. Like, you can't just stay stagnant, you know, the whole time. And I think that helped with that. And I think just now, even like thinking about like mentorships at all, like whenever based on like the good mentorship we had, then I'm open to have other mentorships too. Like, I think me and Jennifer, it wasn't success, but we were mentors after at Lee College. we weren't the best mentors, but it works both ways. Like you mentioned, like you have to be good at like reaching out, and then they have to be good at also, you have to reach out, they have to reach out, you have to be comfortable. But having that then made me want to do that to other people. And then even like you mentioned that, like at the corporate level now too, I've identified, okay, I've got like unofficial mentors that I've gone with in my department just to help me and give me feedback. But then I've also been identified like, hey, can you mentor this person? Because they need that kind of data analytical skills that you have and they don't have it, but they're such a good person that we don't want to lose them. It's just that they're struggling with this. And then I've also been recommended, hey, you know, sometimes I've noticed that you're really good at presenting, but you could be better by doing this. And I think this person would help you. And I'm like, well, thank you. I mean, that's good feedback, right? You always want to grow. And told me, hey, this is a person that you should be, that should be your mentor. So then now I'm like at the mentor-mentee level. And, you know, at the corporate level, successful. I think the other one was not successful, but I think it just depends on who it is and that they really want to be a part of it, I think is also the thing.
Yeah, it goes both ways, like both of you said. And I think also at the corporate level, and this is something that maybe a lot of people don't talk about, but ideally, and this is for the listeners there in corporate, but ideally in corporate, you need two things, right? A mentor and sponsor that is like a mentor, but operates at higher levels of leadership, which is someone that has like decision power, who is also looking out for you because you're amazing, okay? Like you don't own these people anything. You're just amazing, clearly. And it's important to have a diversity of mentors. So everyone that is in the room, they truly know you. Other than doing your job and being excellent at it, I think it's really important in corporate and even in entrepreneurship for you to develop those relationships genuinely and strategically too. You know, I think it makes total sense. Amazing. And something I know, you know, because some people, what I felt at times is like there was maybe an expectation of me to want to convince you to stay as chemical engineers. Like, I don't know why I felt that way sometimes, not from the program or anything like that. But I don't know. I got that vibe based in my memory. I don't know where it came from. And to me, it was like, I mean, I'm not forcing myself to stay something somewhere I don't like. Like, why would I force others? Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? So I think it's really important to honor that gut feeling. Like, you usually know in your body what you like, what doesn't feel aligned. And I think the journey is also more honoring yourself and paying attention to what you feel. Because to me, it took a panic attack. I mean, you two know it, to say, I'm done with this. So you don't really need to get to crisis like I did, just tolerating until your body says like, no more. And you knew this, right? So I think paying attention is super, super important. I was going to ask you something else, but I completely forgot. We are going to continue. I have so many things in my mind when you're talking and I'm like, I need to write it down because this is so, so freaking good. I love it. So you saw yourself as a failure when you were thinking about pivoting, right? But you saw me pivoting a lot. And even after supply chain, continue pivoting. What was your perception of me, which is outside of you, when it came to me reinventing and pivoting over and over?
I could start. To me, whenever you were doing that, I saw you as like courageous. And this is just how I am. I think at some point, I'm very structured that I need to follow like a process. And sometimes if that, like, I see it more linearly and it's not supposed to be linear, right? It's just not. And I was like, oh man, it takes a lot of courage to then do this and this and step out of your comfort zone. Because whenever I had to do it, I was like about to, I probably had a panic attack just telling my parents I was going to do it. And then after that, I think it just became more normalized, right? Because then I did it. It didn't feel too bad. I was able to still achieve what I wanted to. So I was like, it has a lot of courage to do this, because I don't think a lot of people, because even, and I'm sure Jennifer and yourself have been in positions like this, where you have coworkers that are very negative and they're not happy with what they're doing, but they stay there. So I'm like, have the courage to change or move or do something that, like, do an assessment. Like, what do you want to do? And if this, like, I remember I had a teacher, I even told the teacher once and I got in trouble. I was like, if you don't like teaching, then quit. And I got sent into the principal's office. I didn't go, but I got sent.
I love that. That's hilarious.
And I'm all like, well, and if she wanted to be a teacher, if she really liked being a teacher, then well, how could she bring happiness back so that she's a happy teacher? Or don't be a teacher, because now you're like giving this bad energy to your students. So to me, I'm like, you had the courage. Not everybody has the courage. Some people are miserable in their jobs for the rest of their life. So that's what I thought.
I love it. Hey, those were wise words to your teacher. Clearly, that person didn't take it properly, but it is true, right? What is within your control? If you're deciding to stay, then you gotta change the way you see things. And if you don't want to stay, then you gotta have that courage too. And both of them requires courage, but what doesn't require courage is staying in the same place, suffering, right? With the same perspective, same mindset, like kind of complaining. And I think that's such a limiting way to live, and it's not worth it at all. I wanted to ask that question because I think so many times we are so hard on ourselves. And when someone does the things we want to do, we see that person in the positive light. But when we want to do it, sometimes we don't give ourselves permission to do that thing. And again, that's why mentors and role models are so, so, so important. How about you, Jennifer? I mean, what did you think? Were you like, oh my God, is she crazy? Another pivot? Like, what's going on?
I feel like I would never thought you were crazy. I always thought like, wow, that's so great. Like, I want to be that way too. I want to build my own business. Like, that's the goal, right? And so I was just like, she's actually doing it and quitting her job and putting all her effort into it and following her passion. Like, how amazing. But like what you're saying right now, it's like, if I try to change anything, I'm like so critical of myself. So yeah, I was very proud. I was very encouraging of you. I was excited for you. I was like happy that you were taking the step into doing what you really loved, and you had found what you love. And so, yeah, I was, but switching it then back to me, I'm like, I would have been terrified, but
yeah,
so proud of you.
You're so sweet. And I want to normalize, like, every time I made a change, I was freaking out. Like, it was terrible. Of course, I didn't go to Instagram and say, oh my God, I'm freaking out, I'm going to quit. You know, like, of course, no one knows because it happens in the dark, right? Yeah. But every time I was going to make a change, I was like freaking out. Even when I quit Exxon and I moved to Accenture in consulting, I remember I was so nervous and anxious that this is kind of weird, but one of my eyes, you know, like you have veins, like one of them just like exploded or something. I know that's how anxious I was of making this decision that was totally aligned. And I think being scared, the most aligned decisions are the scariest one, but it's so important that we don't allow that fear to stop us, because then we are living in that zone of limitation and of the world is happening to me. Like, I'm not a creator. And of course, you two have been amazing creators of your path in your own way. And what I'm excited about is that you're gonna teach your kids, future generations, that empowerment and that courage that you have had during this whole journey, which I think it's empowering.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we're building something, a community within ourselves to help the future help. I mean, I'm like more than happy to try to help my sisters, but yeah, anybody who asks for help, and thinking about like the resources that they will have that we didn't have is very exciting, because you've been through it. Hopefully they listen to it though, because we can be stubborn as teenagers, but yeah, definitely like exciting to think of that.
If not, they can get mentors too.
Yeah, somebody else, not me. Somebody else tell him. Yeah.
That's hilarious. So, someone who is looking to pivot in their careers to find more fulfillment, more alignment, like, and he has been in your shoes, like that person is in your shoes, whoever you were in the past, what would you recommend to that person right now, Jennifer? If someone is like, I'm not happy where I'm at, even if it's on my job, career, business with a client, it doesn't matter. And that person wants to pivot, but doesn't know how and is scared. Like, what is one thing that you would recommend this person to do?
One thing,
The first thing that comes to your heart.
the first thing, I think sometimes just to like trust and like listen to yourself and just try to do the best that you can because it's all you have in the moment. You can't see the future, and you can't predict what's going to happen. So just kind of like take it day by day and try to assess what's going to be the best for you and show up in your best every day to kind of get to where you want to be.
I
And
love that.
failure is definitely not the worst thing that can happen. It's actually a great thing. So if you can lean into that, like, and find your like purpose or your passion and all that, like, it's you have so much life to live. You have time to make mistakes and figure it out.
I love that. The only way to succeed is you gotta fail forward, right? So it's part of the process. So I love what you said. Like, get to know yourself, show up as your best self, and give yourself permission to mess up because you're gonna do it anyways, right? What about you, Bere? Like, what would you recommend someone that is like, oh my God, I want to pivot, I don't know what to do, like, what's going on?
I think the same thing that kind of Jennifer mentioned, I think I would say like trial and error because you don't really know what you want maybe at that point, and that's reasonable, right? Like, then just try something, see if it works, and if not, then look at something else and then really do like an assessment of what makes you happy. Say, I know my sister, she actually changed a lot of times. She was at one point she was doing nursing, she was doing engineering, didn't like engineering, went back to something else, now is back in engineering and she's doing good. But I remember telling her, I was like, it's okay, just try it, see if you like it. If you don't like it, then okay, you tried, you've attempted, and now you can identify, okay, I like this aspect of this and this aspect I did not like. And then that gets you closer to your end result. So I think it's just that, like, try it, see what works, what doesn't work, and then just learn from it.
I
And I think
love
that goes back to like what Jennifer mentioned, because that's what we both did, right? She tried construction management, then went to supply chain. I tried chemistry and industrial engineering. I liked industrial engineering. So, and I think similar to what you did, right? You tried different things and you've identified, okay, well, I'm not a big fan of this. And then this is really my calling. And then that's what led you to where you're at now.
I love it. I love everything that you both have said. And I would add one thing too, ask for help. I think many times, I mean, I've been working on this more now that I'm an entrepreneur, that it's like, okay, what's the path? It's even more uncertainty, right? Like, ask for help. It requires so much courage to say, because we are being taught to be self-reliant at all times. Like, mainly women, we have to be self-reliant. We have to be perfect. Like, everything has to be just linear in a way. And I think asking for help from a mentor, from your family, from a friend, getting to know a community of people also who are operating at that level of empowerment, I think could be so helpful with for you. You know, the people that you surround yourself with truly makes a huge difference. So I love that. I love that so much. Okay, so as we conclude, I want you to talk about, what are you dreaming of lately? I mean, like, if you look back in your life, you have broken already many generational cycles, right? From your past generations. You have accomplished many dreams that you didn't even know were possible where you are at right now. Many of them you thought were impossible because you didn't see a way to get there at that moment. What are you dreaming of lately? Like, what's the next thing for you, whatever you feel comfortable with. It can be anything. And you can start better. What are you dreaming of lately?
Okay, so I think there's two pieces to this. And I'll start with what my initial dream was and what it has become, both I think professional and just personal. I think professional, when I was young, my goal was to change the world. That, and it's funny because I think even now I tell my husband, I was like, sometimes I just get down and I'm like, but I haven't done anything to change anything. And he's like, No, you have. You're working on projects that lead to patients having better outcomes or improving, different patient care things. So I think for me, I want to continue to do that at a big level. I want to make sure that all the patients, that have cancer have a really good care during their time and that we continue to improve that. And I think the other piece is, like you mentioned, as we grow and think about like families, then I want to still have like now my children be able to have that good role model of, this is all that you like have the support to do whatever they want and not feel like judged or like I'm making them do something, but more as we're here to support you and then have them experience a lot of stuff that I wasn't able to. So I think like me and my husband really enjoy traveling, and that's one thing that we always talk about, like, oh, I can't wait to travel with our kids to do this so that then they can experience the different cultures and then know that this is all possible and feasible, because that's things that we didn't have growing up. We didn't have like, oh yeah, we can just go to this different country and, experience all these different things and all the different opportunities that are out there that we just didn't know.
I love that so much. I love your dreams. I'm inspired by them. That's beautiful. How are you, Jennifer? What are you dreaming of lately?
This isn't a dream, but like the kind of how I started, the word that has really resonated with me this year is taking responsibility of my life, of my actions, of my surroundings, of my knowledge. I feel like I grew up with my dad telling me, like, you went to school, you should know this, you should know this. And like, I just was like, oh, well, I just don't know this. So I guess I just don't know. Like, I'm not smart enough, or I just didn't come with those skills. So it's just really been taking responsibility for learning those things that I don't know enough about, and having a growth mindset and being okay with failure and being okay with not being perfect, because I can be a perfectionist. Yeah, daydreaming to becoming my best version of myself, for my family, for my partner, for my potential like future kids, and for like the people before us that were breaking all those generational traumas. Yeah, that's kind of like what I've been daydreaming, just really focusing on taking action and responsibility and bettering everything else by taking responsibility for myself.
I love it. And when we look at all of our dreams, it's really fulfilling that potential, like being our best version for ourselves and others so we can serve and we can continue growing. So I think both of your dreams are truly inspiring. And I love asking that question because we don't get, I mean, maybe when kids, we were being asked, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? But then as we grow into adults, like no one asks us anymore, like, what do you want to do when you continue growing? Like, what are you dreaming of lately? So I think it's such a powerful question that you both had answers for. So clearly you're being the creator of your own life, which is powerful.
Reading lots of books and podcasts and working on myself. That's what, yeah.
That's a beautiful dream. So I am so immensely grateful for both of you for this relationship that we have nurtured and fostered throughout the years. I'm just so happy that we have grown together. We have pivoted all of us together. And from my heart, thank you so, so much for being here today. You have changed my life. So I want to thank you for that.
Thanks, Jeanette. I think at first, and this is just me, anytime I have to do anything in public speaking, I'm always afraid, but thank you for making this such a good interview. And I didn't feel nervous at all. I'm pretty sure Jennifer didn't. So thank you. And I also really value your friendship and everything that you've been able to show us as we all grow together.
That's beautiful. I mean, yeah, go ahead, Jennifer.
I'm just over here, like, yeah, I'm loving all the emotions, but yeah, it's like, this was great. Thank you for 11 years, you said. I hadn't thought back to how long it's been, but yeah, thank you so much for your mentorship. And I think everyone in this world needs a mentor, especially in any situation, but especially like those that you don't have people that think like you, look like you, or that have gone through what you want to do. Like, it can be really lonely, very challenging. So it's always good to have someone on your corner that has already been through that and can help you and guide you along the way. And you've done that amazingly. So thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you both. And I'm happy you had fun. We wanted to have fun and serve in this interview. That's the whole purpose. And just some concluding thoughts, you know, mentorship is one of the most fulfilling things you can do, like mentoring others and getting mentored. So if you don't have a mentor, anywhere stage that you're in, it doesn't matter. You got to get a mentor. You got to start mentoring people. I think that's how you also learn more about yourself and continue growing. So I hope you enjoy this episode with these two rock stars. Share it with your friends, share it with your family. I cannot wait for you both to share it with your families. I'm sure I'm going to get a message from Vera's mom. She used to message me all the time, which I loved. I was very responsive. But yeah, she's so sweet. All of your family, like both of you, they are so sweet. So thank you so, so much, everyone. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week. I'll see you next Wednesday. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening at With Clarity and Purpose. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Sharing is caring. Please share with your friends and family so we can continue building an empowered community together. I'll see you next week.